It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. We have seen the 3 o'clock kickoffs today, the first Saturday afternoon of Clyde One Super Scoreboard of the new season. Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean, and we are going to reflect on what we've seen today. We're going to look back on Dundee United 1, Rangers 1 from last night. We're going to look ahead because there are still four Premiership games to come this weekend. The first of those is this evening, a 5:30 kickoff between Aberdeen and Hearts. Two more games tomorrow and then Celtic against Dundee on Monday night. Roger, just the one Premiership game today for us to look at, and it is a good win for St Mirren, 2-0 win over Falkirk.
Yeah, and it's been a difficult week for Craig McLeish. You know, they lost at home to Dunfermline last Sunday. They missed the chance to be seeded in the Premier Sports Cup draw. They were then drawn away to Rangers at Ibrox. Craig McLeish made his controversial remarks, shall we say, about the referee Sean Murdoch. He's landed a notice of complaint from the SFA over those remarks. He's probably facing a touchline ban. He's had to listen to a lot of people, including the three of us, suggest that St Mirren will finish in the bottom two this season. And the response is a well-deserved 2-0 win at Falkirk.
I would suggest, Cammy, that I think a lot of the interest in the phone-in across the next hour will be looking back on the events of Tannadice last night, Rangers going into it, Dennett McInnes' first competitive game in charge of the club, being unable to come out with all 3 points.
Yeah, disappointing night for Rangers. Again, you want to get off to that fast start, and with so many changes over the summer, a lot of positivity around what's happened, new manager coming in, a number of new players coming into the group, and you don't get off to that start that you need to as a Rangers player and as a club, that you need to get 3 points. It's a difficult venue to go to, Tannadice. It's always a hard game, but you need to start the season well. They didn't do that. First half was really poor. They were a little bit better in second, but Derek McInnes will be demanding more from his players, and certainly within the result they need to start winning games of football.
0141 951 1025. You can let us know whether you want to reflect, whether you want to look ahead. Everything is fine with us. Thomas is a Rangers fan in Barrhead. Up first, Thomas, what did you make of the game last night?
Hello, Andrew. What I made of the game last night was nothing less than what I expected. Many of my Rangers supporting friends for several years now have been desperate to get Derek McInnes to, in inverted commas, come home, although he only played 40-odd games for us. I've seen McInnes's team performances over the years, and I just don't get the hype about this manager. In 19 years, he's won one League Cup in a penalty shootout v Ross County. Even Callum Davidson at St Johnstone has won more trophies. Last season, Rangers and Celtic were both pretty rotten, although Celtic still won the league. And that's how Hearts flattered to deceive. I felt they looked good because Rangers and Celtic were so bad. That is going to be typical of what a McInnes team performance will be. I was not in favour of him coming at all. I didn't see what the rush was to appoint him. Why did Rangers not consider their options? And I do fear that although we'll win more games than we'll lose, I think the football will be quite sore in the eyes.
I mean, McInnes still broke records at Hearts last season, didn't he, in terms of Hearts' total points record, and I think maybe a points record outside of Old Firm teams when it came to, you know, 3 points for a win. So it was still a very good season for Hearts, but Thomas is looking back on Derek McInnes' track record as a whole, doesn't think he's the right man. And this doesn't stem just from last night, Thomas. You think that, you know, Derek McInnes was not the right choice all along, no?
No, I know that my Rangers supporting friends, and I think the majority of Rangers fans have been keen for Derek McInnes to come. But even, not because he knocked his back all those years ago, even at that time I wasn't keen for him to come because, again, I felt his track record left a lot to be desired. He still had a lot to prove. All these years later, it's still the same. It's the same type of football he's played at every club, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, and last season at Hearts. Although, yes, the Hearts did do well. Again, they were knocked out of cup competitions early by low league opposition as well, in at least one of the occasions. And again, Celtic lost 8 games, yet still won the league. Rangers had the bad start they had under Russell Martin. So I think
there's also just a huge financial disparity between Celtic and Rangers and Hearts. So Derek McInnes had a lot to do to try and overcome that last season. But Thomas is saying that, you know, the style of play, he doesn't think
Thomas Derek
Kinnis had the track record.
Track record. I mean, Derek's won manager of the year with three different teams. He had Aberdeen regularly in second place when Rangers were down the divisions. He won the League Cup. Aberdeen haven't done anything like that since he left. You know, other than that one trophy with Jimmy Tilleen, league wise, he's never done anything like it. He took Kilmarnock from the Championship into Europe. He took Hearts to within 3 minutes of their first league title in 66 years. So when Rangers and Jim Gillespie looked to go and get Derek McInnes, I don't think anyone was surprised. Thomas is saying his friends weren't surprised. It does seem the obvious appointment. It can't be expected. No one could be expected to turn Rangers around inside 90 minutes. It was a disappointing performance. We spoke about it in the show earlier on. A lot of the players who underachieved last season looked as if they were going to underachieve again last night. So Derek made the point last night that the squad will look much different come the 3rd of September than it does on the 31st of July as it was last night. He needs players in. He needs more players in. And it's difficult. You're asking us to do the predictions. It's difficult to do predictions when we don't actually know which players will be playing for these teams come the 3rd of
December. I think the big factor as well, Roger, going for Derek McInnes was the fact that he's a very experienced manager that knows the leagues. You know, he knows the Scottish game. We've seen Rangers appoint foreign managers and it's just been one sort of a failure after another. People not really managed in Scotland. Derek, yes, great season with Hearts. Look, Derek will know the job that he's got ahead of him. I was not impressed with Rangers last night at all. I didn't think that. I looked at a Rangers team thinking, oh, they've really changed. There's a different style to them, different attitude, different players and everything like that. But it was the same old Rangers to me. I think they had a wee spell in the second half after Derek made the couple of substitutions that was positive. Asgard was positive. But there was more for me watching that last night. And I know it's the beginning of the season, I get it, first game. There was more negatives than there were positives.
Thomas, the guys mentioned that Derek McInnes said that the squad will look very different. He's keen to get, you know, more new players through the door. Do you think that will make much of a difference, or you're not thinking it will?
I'm just fearful of the style of football that Derek plays. And I heard what Cameron was saying about Aberdeen regularly finish second. Got to remember, that was at a time when there was no Rangers, Hibs, Hearts or Dundee United in the Premier League. And at one time he was up against Ronnie Daly of Celtic, although I'm not decrying Celtic won the league. It wasn't the best Celtic team at the time under Ronnie Daly. So at that time you had, as I said, St Johnstone were winning trophies, as well as some other teams. But Derek just didn't win any trophies apart from that penalty shootout against Ross County. And it's his style of play with these teams that I think you will get extra players in. I still think come Christmas we're going to be well off the pace.
But whether people like Derek McInnes' style of play or not, how much do you think it really matters, Cammy, how easy it is on the eye or how easy it's not on the eye? Is it not just really for Rangers at this point, if Celtic are in a spell of dominance, which they have been for a long time now, do Rangers fans care too much about the style of play, or is it more about just having a manager that's going to win games and win league titles, and that's really the remit for Derek McInnes?
Yeah, for this first season, for me, a lot of Rangers fans, I'll just take winning trophies. They've got to start winning trophies again. Derek McInnes came into the building knowing Rangers, knowing Scottish football. He knows the expectations. He's expected to win trophies. Listen, the style of play for me this first season is irrelevant. They just need to win trophies. But again, last night was a warning sign that if you don't have an identity, if you don't have players playing at the top of their game, you're going to find it hard and you're going to drop points. And that's what they did last night. They didn't really have a certain style of play last night, but also their top players didn't perform to what they can. And it makes it difficult evening for them, and they don't get what they went for. They didn't get the 3 points. This season for me, I think Rangers is just all about winning games of football. The style of play is irrelevant for me as long as they're winning games. But listen, see, when you don't win games, that's when style of play becomes questionable. That's when people start moaning, you're not winning games, but what is your style of play?
The thing is, Cameron, they were up against a team last night that if you're doing predictions now, I don't think MD would have Dundee United finishing the first 4th, 5th.
Agree.
You know, so it was a test for it. And all credit to Jim Goodwin. I thought the style of play, especially first half, were brilliant. I liked watching Dundee United. I think they've improved under Jim with that situation. But if you're Rangers and you are going to make a statement, you brought in a new manager, he had new players, they've got the big squad, they pay money, I think you've got to hit the ground running, and they certainly didn't look like that last night to me.
In terms of individual performances, Thomas, was there anything that concerned you, anything that gave you positive signs?
The positive sign that stuck out like a sore thumb, I thought, was Asgard. Last season, he disappointed and flattered to deceiving occasions. But the annoying thing about Asgard is, or was, that, and he showed that in the World Cup, there is a good football player in there, a good football brain with a skill. And he showed that last night. That was the one positive I took from the game. The negative is Diamandis still getting a game. And Gassama getting a start as well when you had Finlay Curtis sitting on the bench. I just didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I think the wide areas is something that is going to be a big talking point for Rangers supporters, because Dennis McInnes said himself he needs players in. That seems to be the key area. You just wonder how many need to come in those wide areas, whether it's two, whether it's three. How many would you expect to come in?
Listen, there'll be a lot of movement at Rangers. I would imagine Nico and Askan would go out for a large sum of money. So is all that money reinvested back in? They may need a central defender. I know Macchiana just came in through the week, but Ben Godfrey went off with that hamstring injury last night. I'm not sure if Macchiana can get in at Poland. It was a visa issue, I think, with him. Does John Souter have to come back into the squad? Is there going to be a signing round the corner for Rangers in that department? I still think they need left-back cover if anything happens to Tuor Romans. And at least one winger, possibly two. So I think there'll be movement in and out at Rangers over
the next month. I'd be looking at least two. I think if you've got the firepower that Rangers brought Shanklin in, best goal scorer in Scotland, brought him in, you've got to give him the ammunition. And you've got, and the way Derek plays, he plays with wide players. So you've got to have a bit of quality. Rangers, apart from young Finlay Curtis, and I agree with Thomas sitting a bit, I would have played him all day long in front of Kasama. I think he offers nothing for me. He needs to get quality in the wide areas for me.
Are there any names in particular, Thomas, that you'd like to see come in?
Well, Tierney is the one that I would love to have seen come in, but obviously that's out with Rangers control. In as much as Besiktas is willing to sell him because they're waiting, Mo Salah, I think it is, and does Tierney himself want to come back to Rangers? Because I was reading that there's a wee bit of debate as to whether that would be his first choice. Obviously, I'd love to see Mikey Moore coming back again, out with Rangers control. That's up to Spurs and it's up to the boy himself. And again, he's getting offers from Germany. So the players I'd like to see are not easily available as such. Other than that, yes, we do need a winger to give Curtis a wee bit of support. And that boy Magoma that we had on the trial and a loan last season, the left back, he was only 19, and I thought he played well until Rumens came and took over that position. And again, if that boy was available at a reasonable fee, then he would be one that would be a good addition for the cover in the left back position.
I suppose it's just how Rangers look at the recruitment side of things. You know, Thomas is looking at players that have previously been at the club, but many of them have been part of teams that haven't won things and maybe haven't just been good enough to beat Celtic or even finish above Hearts last season. You wonder if Rangers then go in a different direction, although Vaclav Czerny's certainly been linked.
Yeah, Czerny's the one that, for me, I liked Czerny when he was at Rangers. I thought he definitely had something. He was very direct, but also he worked hard. I think that if he'd spent a little bit longer at Rangers, he would have only got better and better. So he's one that certainly I would look at and think if you can get him back in the building, I think that would be a positive move.
A goal scoring winger too, which has maybe been few and far between for Rangers, having wingers that are going to hit double figures, get 15, 20 goals.
And when I'm looking at Lorne Shankland in the box and you've got Czerny out wide, I mean, that for me is a really good combination. So listen, there'll be a lot of business done. Derek McInnes has now got the opportunity to bring in players that he wants to bring in as well, so he'll be working away with the recruitment team to see and identify players that suit his style of play, which is good. He's got basically a month to get his business done. It's whether he can get in his first choice players that he wants in the building. Time will tell, because there's a number of moving blocks that need to happen for certain transfers to come through.
Rangers have spent a bit of money so far this transfer window. They spent, was it £40 million last season? Would you expect there to still be a big outlay towards the end of the window? Does that depend on who goes out, whether there's a big fee for Nico Raskin?
It partly depends who goes out, I would suggest. And there could be a big fee for Nico Raskin. They brought in £4.5 million for Oliver Antman through the week as well. I would imagine John Souter will be getting moved off the wage bill shortly. There were big earners like Tavernier and Butland left during the summer as well, Andrew. So there has been money coming in as well. But if they're going to keep pace with Celtic, who have just spent £17 million on two centre-forwards, then they're going to have to spend, you know, more money, because what they had last night is not going to win them a league.
Well, thank you to Thomas. Speaking of Celtic, let's speak to John, who's a Celtic fan in Coke Bridge. John, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Hi, Dazza, Roger and Cammy.
Hi, John. How are you doing, John?
No, I've tried to go on this point now, mate, a bit. Obviously, we've seen Casper Ho and the boy Duran, the two of them, obviously, come with good quality in that. But I just might. Do you think this is, if the Celtic board think this is going to appease the fans, they've got another thing coming. We need, and see, saying that, Roger, you're just talking about John Souter, right? I know that's maybe a bit controversial. I've always liked him. I would take him to Celtic, but he was a backup. I think he's a good player. I mean, I know he's a bit injury prone, but my point is really about the goalkeeper. I know the guy is at Vlahovic, Roger, for Fenerbahce. He's out of favour, but there's talk. Was it another guy, another Croatian goalkeeper? It was at Real Betis, mate. I think that was, they've been linked with Wayne, and they were looking at a Real Betis goalkeeper. And obviously, I would also like Sarachi to come back out of the building, because we need cover. Obviously, if Engels back go, we need cover for the midfielders. But I know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, the Sarachi deal doesn't look as if it's going to happen, no, does it? He's put out a statement himself.
It should have happened. It should have happened a month ago or 6 weeks ago, Andrew, because Celtic won't get a more reliable deputy for Kieran Tierney for that type of money than Marcelo Sarachi. I don't think there's a supporter at Celtic Park was disappointed with his contribution last season. That's a deal that was could easily have been done, and I think they've missed the boat on that. Whether they now turn to Greg Taylor, whether Greg would come back, I don't know, but the Sarachi deal should have been done. When Engels goes, I assume Micah Bauer from Paderborn will be the new Arnie Engels. The goalkeeping thing, John, fascinates me. Has Sinne Salo done enough to be recognised as first choice? That's a decision Martin and Neil's going to have to make between now and the transfer window closing. He says he wants a goalie in just to get the numbers back up. You know, in terms of numbers, Kasper Schmeichel has never been replaced. It's only Sinne Salo and Ross Doohan that are there. But does the guy who comes in, is he a backup to Sinne Salo, or is he the man?
John Souter to Celtic?
No, I don't see it happen. Listen, I totally understand John's point of view. Excuse me. But you look at the squad that Celtic have got, there's also talk about Alistair Johnson.
Yeah.
Could potentially leave.
David Moyes has actually spoken to Martin O'Neill directly, essentially to say that there is interest from Everton in him.
Now, and by the way, I'm not surprised at that, because I think Alistair Johnson is a terrific player. So Celtic, as much as they've brought in two strikers now, if you look at their business, and you've got to say, business-wise, it's been very, very good, because you can look at the numbers, 17 million two strikers. They brought in 16 million from transfers going out.
Yeah.
You know, so basically their net spend is about £1 million. And everybody's well documented how much money Celtic have got. Look, I think Celtic have still got a lot of business to do in this transfer window. Of that, there's no doubt.
Are things looking more promising, John? Because on the show a few weeks ago, there were a lot of Celtic fans phoning in, really annoyed about the lack of transfer activity. The fact that £17 million has been spent on players that the supporters seem to like the early signs of, does that give you belief that more money is going to be spent and Celtic will sort out the areas they need to sort out?
Well, is that just related to that? They've not really spent in. I mean, so they've spent £1 million or round about.
But it's still £17 million more than they'd spent 2 weeks ago.
I'm glad they've signed. I mean, that guy, his quality, this guy, and obviously Duran's, and I don't look into pre-season, it doesn't hang about it. The boy has scored 3 goals or something in 3 or 4 games. He looks a good player. But to me, this, apparently, Roger, the Sarachi deal, whoever he was going to, was it some team in the US, MLS, that's fell through?
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know why they can't go back. But if their board think that's going to appease the fans, what they've done, they've got another thing coming. Because you see, Engels is probably going to move on in Hatate. And much as I like Luke McCown, he's a good player. But to me, you need to sign a midfielder. I know they're going to go for this boy Bor, who looks quite a good player. But to me,
so what will appease the supporters, John? Because, I mean, as you say, there's still a lot of business that Celtic need to do. But what does that business need to look like for the next month for Celtic fans to be happy with the business that's done in this window?
I reckon another at least five players have got to come in who can go straight into the first team or thereabouts. If Alistair Johnson goes, which I hope he doesn't, I don't know why we can't go for Arugo. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's available. I don't know, maybe the wage got a stumbling block, maybe. But they need, if Alistair Johnson goes, much as I love Tony Ralston, he's not the answer. He's a good squad player, an honest professional, but they need, if he goes, we need a right back, cover for Tierney at left back, and if a couple of midfielders go, we need another two midfielders and a goalie. So to me, there's got to be five signings, as far as I'm concerned, who can go straight into the first team or thereabouts.
Thank you to John, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to add to John's thoughts about Celtic, maybe you want to look back on that draw between Dundee United and Rangers last night, maybe you are on your way back from a game today and you want to talk about your team's first league match of season. There is a big game tonight between Aberdeen and Hearts, a couple of big Premiership matches tomorrow, so get your calls in now, 0141 951 1025.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Still time to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean. There have been two of the six Premiership games completed this weekend. Last night was a 1-1 draw between Dundee United and Rangers. A 2-0 win for St Mirren today away at Falkirk. And in 5 minutes' time, Aberdeen against Hearts up at Pittodrie. And the weather looks absolutely horrendous up there.
Yeah, it's not the best. But I've got to say, as a player, I don't know what the Cammy was. I like playing in conditions, a little bit of rain. The surface was a bit way, and you could, and it comes off a goalkeeper.
Goalies don't like that.
No, exactly. As a striker, I love that.
I think what it helps is the pitch, doesn't it? Because this time of year, you can sometimes get really dry pitches and it's slow. So I think a little bit of rain on it will just help this game. Listen, Pittodrie
looks. No hydration breaks.
No, Pittodrie looks absolutely packed and bouncing. So they're ready for this game, certainly.
Yeah, big flag display at Pittodrie, the supporters, a few, I was going to say flares, it's sort of club-arranged pyrotechnics rather than flares, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to make sure there's no one in the stand holding those up.
Big season for Aberdeen.
Yeah.
They fell away, they lost their identity a little bit for me. They've got Stephen Robinson in now that knows the leagues as well, that's important. He's had time now in the summer to bring in his own players, work with them. So they'll be home to go off to a good start, but this will be a difficult game.
This is a big game for Aberdeen. It's one you can lay down a marker. We just spoke about the stadium being full. It's a difficult one. We all know how Hearts went last season. Yes, they've had their Champions League games and it's been a disappointment for them. But if Aberdeen go and get 3 points here, what a start to the season for them.
It's also one that Hearts could set the tone as well. Yep. Because as Roger mentioned earlier on, Sturm Graz are a good side. They were in the Champions League last season, weren't they? They were in the Europa League last season, but they're a team that, you know, regularly get to league phases of European competition. So it's tough to judge. But if Hearts go out and they win and a couple of new signings get goals, then all of a sudden things are looking a lot better.
But also you could flip that. If they don't win at Pittodrie today, there'll be more questions get asked.
And then one of the last teams that Hearts will want to face after losing at Pittodrie would be Benfica.
Yeah, listen, Sturm Graz, yes, they were a European sort of bigger club at one point. I don't think they're as big a club as they probably previously were. Yes, they're still a very, very good team, but I think the disruption in Hearts over the summer has shown already. So today's a big game for me, I think, for both clubs, because, as I say, Aberdeen can lay down a mark in front of their own fans, get a real positivity around the club again, but Hearts sort of need to knock that little bit of negativity that's crept in, which will creep in because they lost their captain, their manager and a number of other players over the summer.
You wouldn't mess with Aberdeen's new goalkeeper, would you? You see him walking out there in what looks to be pretty much a full face mask for whatever injury he's got. He looks massive.
He's a big lad. They'll be looking for big things. Interesting to see that, you know, once again, another centre-forward being the captain, Kevin Nisbet, big season for him. I think if you give him the right ammunition, he finds a back in it for you. He could be a big player for Aberdeen. Responsibility as well of being the captain. So It'll be interesting to see how this game goes tonight.
We'll keep you up to date if there are any goals in the opening half an hour or so of that game at Pittodrie. But let's go back to the phones. Nadeem is a Rangers fan in Livingston. What have you got for us this evening, Nadeem?
Hi, Andrew, Gordon and Canny. I'm just phoning up regarding I'm a Rangers fan, so regarding the Rangers situation just now. I was listening to your show and I know I heard Cammy, you were talking earlier on about a style of play. Do you know, I think when the caller said that there wasn't a style of play, and Cammy had said that you don't need to have a style of play as long as you just win games. And as much as I understand what Cammy's saying there, you can't go, you won't win a league by not playing well, right? I know you can win the odd game here or there. If you don't play well, you still need to get results. I get that. But you can't go through a full season campaign and not play well and win the league. It's just not going to happen. So when you talk there, Cammy, about you've just got to get results, absolutely, you need to get results. Of course, you've got to get 3 points. You've got to go find cup tournaments. I get that. But the way to do that is by playing well. You don't need to have a style of play to play well. You know, look at all the other teams in the league I've done last season. You don't have to have a style of play where you have to go wide or you have to go through the middle.
But I don't think people would look at Hearts across the course of last season and say Hearts didn't play well or didn't play good football. Hearts were exciting to watch a lot of last season.
Yeah, we're about to see them kick off this season and they're kicking off with a player of the year, Claudio Braga. Up front, it was an exciting signing. Shankland was exciting enough that Rangers signed him. Devlin was exciting enough that Rangers signed him. Kouzeridis, brought over from Greece end of the season, capped by Greece for the first time, so he did okay. So listen, Hearts contributed greatly to last season. They play a certain way, but it wasn't a certain way that was necessarily, you know, sore on the eye, Andrew.
And as well, when you look at, you know, Rangers going forward, it was, and Derek McInnes won't want to use this as an excuse, but it was also Rangers' first competitive game of the new season. It was his first competitive game. There's a lot of new players in there. He says things will get better with time. They've got more players to come in, so it may have been a disappointing result. Rangers fans will just need to hope that things will improve on that, and that's just, you know, the start of things.
And they will get better in time. I totally agree with that. But again, and Derek McInnes knows this better than anybody else, that you don't get long, or again, the longer it takes you to click and win games of football, the more damage it does over the season. Because again, if you start slow at Rangers or at Celtic as an old firm that's chasing that title right from day one, it can affect you. It can damage you early on in the season. So that's why I'm saying at these early moments, I think what's important for Rangers is just to win games of football. Yes, in months to come, they can find a style of play. They can play well. They will play well. Of course they will. But I think early on, we've seen it in previous seasons, that Rangers find themselves chasing, and they don't want to find that this season. They don't want to be chasing Celtic down, going at an Old Firm game where the gap can become 7-8 points, and that's where it becomes really damaging for you. So just at this moment, I think everything's very new and fresh. For me, the most important thing is winning games of football.
A couple of the pundits that had predicted Rangers to win the league, Nadeem, I think jokingly saying that after last night, they might want to change their mind. Is your opinion on how you thought Rangers' season would go, has it altered at all just based on watching last night's game?
No, I think it's a little fickle to think about changing your opinion after one game. Andrew, I think you've got to give Derek McInnes time. I mean, I didn't want Derek McInnes, if I'm being honest with you guys. I didn't think he was I don't think he's exciting enough, and he's a good manager. He's probably an average manager in the league. He done well last season, of course he did. But you need to bear in mind he's had a couple of clubs previously, and although he did okay with Aberdeen, he didn't win loads of cups, especially when Rangers were not even in the division, you know. So if you have average players and you have an average manager, you're going to get average results. So for me, you've got to give him time. You know, the board have given him money, a bit of money, and he's signed players. So I just hope that we can pick up, because last night was horrific. First half was horrible. We picked up a bit in the second half, but I mean, yeah, it was a horrible watch. And I know Cameron talks about style of play, but we didn't play. First of all, he didn't play well at all last night. There was no, for me, there was no grit and determination in terms of wanting the ball back and getting forward quick. It just wasn't great last night.
It's funny, and that's two Rangers, Connors Thomas and Nadeem, talking about Derek McInnes not being exciting enough. Rangers don't need excitement.
No.
Rangers need realism. They need pragmatism, and they need a trophy. If Derek McInnes can win them a trophy with football, any type of football, Rangers fans should embrace that. Celtic have won 14 of the last 15 titles. They won a double last season. You know, Rangers have had one League Cup under Philip Clement, one Scottish Cup under Giovanni van Bronckhorst and one championship under Steven Gerrard in the last however many years. So it's not excitement they need. It's a manager that will bring them silverware.
I think we get lost in a little bit. We don't give enough credit to... I thought Dundee United first half were excellent. Yes, you're expecting big things from Rangers. I was expecting something a little bit different. I think a lot of Rangers fans were the same. Look, it takes time. All clubs take time. We can't use an excuse, well, first competitive game. First competitive game for a lot of Dundee United players as well. I know the manager's been there a few years, but still for the players. Look, I know what you're saying. It's very early to go in predictions and very hard. But if the transfer window closed the now, and I'm just going the evidence of what I watched last night, I don't think that Rangers squad right now would go and win the league, right? I think,
but they've still got your player of the year, Vanya Dragojevic, to come
if he gets a game. And it might be with the under-21s. But I think that they need players that are going to create. I think they need wide men desperately. I really do.
Thank you to Nadim, 0141 951 1025. A big win in the Premiership this afternoon for St Mirren, 2-0 away at Falkirk. Here is what manager Craig McLeish made of their victory.
Yeah, I'm delighted for the group. We got the result that our performance deserved. I thought we were excellent today. So many aspects of our game that I was really happy with. Like, we know it's a tough place to come. We know that Falkirk will have spells of possession. We had to defend at times. We had to dig in at times. Then I thought we showed real quality on the ball at times as well. We had our own spells of control. We counter-attacked very well, which was part of our game plan. When we were breaking, we were wanting to do it at speed and do it in numbers. Maybe could have got another goal on the break if our final action was a little bit better, but no, and like, delighted for just the individuals and the group. Even the boys that come off the bench at the end give us a lift and give us energy and give us real quality as well.
Not sure there's much more that Craig McLeish could have asked for today. A 2-0 win, clean sheet away from home against a decent Falkirk side.
Sitting top of the league, it's theirs to lose now. I've got to
change your prediction to St Mirren.
I certainly, on the evidence today, I thought St Mirren were excellent. I thought from the first whistle there was a better energy about them. They got after Falkirk. It didn't let Falkirk settle on the ball. We all know that Falkirk like to play this passing game. St Mirren were excellent. They were excellent. Yes, you can say that maybe was that a little bit of luck that the Falkirk goal got ruled off for a handball? I thought it was a correct decision. And then as the game went on, Falkirk opened up a bit. They had to commit men forward. And St Mirren were always dangerous on the break as well. So he can be very, very happy with his day's work, and so can his team. That's an excellent start to the season.
6 minutes in between Aberdeen and Hearts at Pittodrie has been end-to-end a bit. I think Aberdeen have maybe had the better slightly of the territory so far, but no big chances. We'll keep you up to date if there are any goals in that one between now and 6 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones. Laurie is a Celtic fan up next. Laurie, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, Andrew, first and foremost, thank you for taking my call. Good evening to you. Good evening, panel.
Hi, Laurie.
I was reading earlier today, Andrew, that Paddy Power, the Irish-based bookmakers, are already paying out on Celtic winning the title.
I mean, I think they kind of do that every year at some point, a more cynical man would say that's a publicity stunt.
Well, they still have to pay out, so it's legitimate and it isn't a fabrication. So I'll move on from that.
I mean, you're talking about it on a big radio station, so it's certainly doing the job, Laurie.
Well, for sure, Andrew. And I wanted to enlarge on that because thus far, Celtic have spent £17 million in two strikers, each of whom scored 5 goals in Champions League matches last season. I think Celtic are a snip. You look at our main competitor from last season, Hearts, who last won the title 66 years ago. If there is a surviving photograph of that Hearts title on the side in 1960, if they discover one, I'm pretty sure it'll be in sepia or black and white. Rangers' titles success, they come around as often as Halley's Comet. The panel starts.
I mean, with Celtic, because Celtic had a season that they were nowhere near as good as they have been in previous seasons and still came out on top, Gordon Dalziel. So you can see why Celtic fans would be confident if they managed to come out of this window with a stronger squad than they left last season. that they'll have a very good chance of winning the league again?
Well, I think the pundits, most of them have predicted Celtic. I think Celtic fans will be very confident, because you're right, if there's any chance of knocking Celtic off their throne, it was certainly last year, and it didn't happen. Martin O'Neill came in, was absolutely brilliant, dragged them over a line, got to a double as well. Yeah, they're going to lose one or two. They have already lost Maeda, of course they have, but right in and replaced them, spent money, brought in good money as well. So business-wise, I think Celtic are doing very, very well, but they'll need to strengthen in other areas. If they lose Alistair Johnston, they'll need a right-back in there, of course they will. They need cover for Tierney. I'd like to, if as a Celtic fan, I'd like to see them, the same as Rangers, bringing in a bit more quality in the wide areas for me.
Yeah, listen, I think Celtic's business that they've done so far looks really good. Certainly the strikers, we knew they needed players at the top end of the pitch. They also need wide players for me. We've mentioned a left-back replacement in case Kieran Tierney picks up any sort of injuries. So there's still a bit of business to do. It'll be interesting to see with Alistair Johnston one, how that plays out if he leaves the club, because if he leaves the club, that's a big, big loss for me. I know he was missing for a huge period of time last season, but I think you could see that, you could feel that that's where Celtic were struggling in that area, because he's so effective for them getting forward, he's very good defensively. So listen, the Celtic fans will be confident, especially after last night and see what happened to Rangers. They couldn't get the 3 points up at Tannadice, sorry. But listen, I think there's still a bit of business that Celtic need to get done to make their team click.
Well, thank you to Laurie. It's still goalless between Aberdeen and Hearts. 10 minutes on the clock. More of your calls to come.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean. So if you've got anything else you want to say before we finish up, get your calls in right now. 0141 951 1025. Lots of action across the first Saturday of league action in the Scottish Premiership and down the divisions today. Of course, a 1-1 draw between Dundee United and Rangers last night. Let's hear from Mark Wilson, shall we, friend of the show, after their win today against Morton.
Look, I thought we deserved the 3 points, certainly with the chances, and obviously hit the woodwork three times. Thought first half, we were a wee bit slack, wear stuff. I thought the pitch is nice condition, but it's a wee bit dry, and maybe that slowed us down a wee bit. I thought we could have done things better. So it was a bit just speeding things up in the second half, maybe a few more runs in behind, and I thought the guys did that in the second half, and then obviously when we make the changes, Morton had a wee bit stretched at that point, so it plays into your hands, and I thought we got the goal that we deserved. Aye, and like the way that we've managed the Premier Sports Cup, that's been the case as well, and we've kind of dovetailed them nicely, the front three especially. That was something I was wanting. I mean, last season we started a wee bit behind, but we had guys who had returned who were injured in the wide areas and the forward areas, and we were a wee bit short. This year I didn't want that to happen, so of course guys who were going out the building for one reason or another, we replaced sort of like for like really quickly, but they were fit and ready to go, and we've kept them fit, and you see the benefit the first game of the season, because it's important that you get off to a good start. And we were 2 games into the season last year, we only had 1 point, so we've bettered that already.
Go back to the phones in a second. This is how you know Scottish football is back, when there's just a bit of madness that has ensued. Pennycook Athletic tweeting, saying red card for Hoyt's Paul Tansey, who, as he's being substituted off, takes his shirt off and jumps into the stand to go for a supporter. We are back.
We are definitely back.
We are back. Right, let's speak to Michael, who is a Celtic fan that's been hanging on the line. Michael, what are you thinking?
Well, thanks for putting me through. Good evening, Paddle.
Hey, Michael. Hello.
I'm just as much. I mean, the raging of Celtic, let Alistair Johnston go. Sure, when I'm getting off money there, we don't need to sell him. He's an integral part of the team. I mean, it would be a big, big miss if he went. So, my point is, do you think they'll all sell?
I mean, it all just comes down to money, doesn't it? That is just the way that football works. If Alistair Johnston to go, it just depends what kind of bid comes in for him, and then that all comes down to, you know, his age, how long he's got left in his contract, whether Celtic will be able to
plus
replace him.
Plus the fact you'll find that the player will probably want to try his hand at the highest level in the Premier League, going to a club like Everton, he'll triple his wages probably as well. So it would be like keeping, I don't think he would be a problem, but look, he's probably been made that promise. There might be something in the contract stating that if a Premiership club come in for him, that they wouldn't stand his way. That's what happens when you come to Scotland. Everybody looks to get down to that English Premier League, especially with the money that's floating around there. And if Celtic happen to get a massive profit on him, then it's business for everybody, and everybody would be happy. I totally agree with Michael. I think it will be very hard to replace. I think he's been brilliant. I know he had an injury, but he's been absolutely brilliant for Celtic. He's a very, very good player, and I think he would fit right into the Premiership, no problem at all.
Julian Araujo came in last season, did well, but even at that, Alistair Johnson would be very tough to replace long term, because you rarely see him have a bad game, do you? He's just extremely consistent, Alistair Johnson, both ends of the pitch.
Yeah, for me, going back and forward to him for Celtic, so effective, top player. And listen, that's what Celtic's all about. They've done it for years. They bring players in and they eventually move them on for big money. And listen, if the price is right, I think he will move on. As Daz said as well, whether there's been conversations had that if a team from the top flight down south comes in and that's where you want to be, then there's an agreement there. But I think the money would have to be right for Celtic to move him on. They're not under pressure with his contract running out or anything like that. But he's going to be difficult to replace, because I think he's so effective. I think we've seen that at points last season when he was unavailable and he was injured for periods of time, that they found it difficult to find a replacement for him. Yes, they bring in players, but he's one of Celtic's top players for me. I think you're right, and his consistency is excellent as well.
Seems to be a big, you know, he is a big personality in the dressing room as well, Roger, a big influence in that Celtic changing room.
Yeah, listen, absolutely, he's a terrific right back. Certainly have done well when you think back to Frimpong and you think back to Juranovic and players like that. Johnson's come in from Montreal, and he will have been told when he came into Scottish football, you do well here, this is a stepping stone and you can go into, you know, far greater riches in your career. That's his right, he'll triple his money, whether it's Everton, whether it's Fulham, wherever he goes. But you could tell, Martin O'Neill said it yesterday, watching Alistair Johnson in the World Cup finals and the way he performed for Canada, you'd be naive to think Celtic weren't going to get bids for the player, and you'd be naive to think that it wasn't a player's mind to go and take the next step in his career. The task then for Celtic, as they've done time and time again, is just to find the replacement, and Arroyo might be the ready-made one, Andrew.
Well, thank you to Michael. Let's speak to James, who's a Rangers fan in Drumchapel. James, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Yourself?
Good, thanks.
Just obviously on last night's performance, it wasn't the best, right? But I've seen better Rangers teams go to Tannadice and not come away with the 3 points.
I've heard a few folk obviously having a few gripes about the performance and stuff, but that's going to happen when you're trying to, when you're trying to breed new players into a squad. I don't think, you know, the starting lineup that started last night is going to be the exact same starting lineup that's going to come at the end of play. At the end of the transfer market. I just think some Rangers fans need to get a wee kind of touch of realism at the moment, that we need to slowly but steadily build on a team. You know, we can't go down the chimneys of after seven games or whatever, sacking yet another manager. Danny McInnes is also still trying to find out what his best kind of starting 11 is going to be. But I just think that a wee bit of realism is going to be a big thing. You know, on Mr. Vice 8 and forwards with 44 days. Talking about his best team again, Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, Danny McInnes has said himself he needs more players in, but Rangers also need to, if you want to be a title winning side, you also need to win games while you are building and while you are getting better. One draw against Tannadice isn't going to cost you the title. It's just making sure that you don't get a habit into dropping points.
Yeah, 100%. I said it before. Listen, you're not going to beat your best at this time of season. It's a new squad, it's a new team, there's a new manager in place, but it's so important when you're at a club like Rangers and you want to win the title that you still win games of football. It's not an easy place to go, and I totally get what James is saying. There has been better Rangers teams that have went up there and dropped points. I get that. But when you're starting afresh, you want to go up and get them 3 points. And it just builds, because, as I say, Rangers don't want to be going in an Old Firm game in a month's time and almost being behind Celtic, and if they lose that game, then you know you're taking yourself out of the title so early on. So they just don't want to put themselves under that pressure, because negativity will fester in no matter what happens. They've got to start winning games, so just puts a little bit of pressure on Sunday, which will be difficult against Hibs at home. But they need to win it.
What I will do is I'll agree with James. I don't think that'll be the starting 11 probably again, because I thought he got it wrong last night. Yeah. He went with Kasama and Nadiri up front. I was very surprised at that. It didn't work, and Derek recognised it very quickly at half time, because all credit to, I keep saying it, Dundee United. I thought they were excellent first half. And he made the changes and it worked. As I say, there was one or two positives. Asgard, I thought, was terrific. Could be a big season for him. I still think there's a lot of work to be done at Ibrox.
If you're looking for a bit of positivity for the Rangers callers, Andrew, Celtic lost twice at Tannadice in the league last season and won the title. So Rangers are a point ahead.
There you go. James, when it comes to transfer business, Derek McInnes was quite clear after the game. He said that the new signings that they're still to make need to land soon. What are the areas that those need to be in?
Creativity. We're needing wingers, trying out for wingers. For me, Gassama's just not even a football player. He flatters to deceive at times. You know, he'll run at somebody, look so dangerous, and then either fluff his lines, put the ball out of the park. It doesn't seem as if he's got that confidence to actually go by a fullback. Let's say he'll run, stop, and turn back. That's what I want to see. I want a winger that's actually going to go at defenders, take them on. You might lose it 9 times out of 10, but that 10th time could, you know, create a goal, be a crossover or whatever. So that's what I want to see. I want to see and even somebody that's going to be like a kind of box-to-box midfielder, and it's going to, you know, maybe take a...
We'll leave that there, because we can't quite make James out. He's saying a box-to-box midfielder. Rangers seem quite stocked in that. Yeah. It's certainly just in the midfield area. Would someone need to move out? Would you even expect them to sign another midfielder?
I'm not sure they will. I think they've got their business done in that area. As we said earlier on, wide players, centre-half, left-back.
What was surprising for me last night was, I know that you've got to get the width in the game, you've got to get quality balls in for your strikers. I didn't think the two Rangers fullbacks went high in the pitch. No. Yeah. And I was very surprised at that. You know, I thought that obviously if they were going to try and get in behind Dundee United, fullbacks are so important.
Are you saying they're missing James Tavernier?
Listen, I thought Tavernier, I was one of the... And there's a lot of people that thought Tavernier was terrific for Rangers. I did. I think they will miss him, because Tavernier's numbers, quality, everything. And I'll tell you right now, if I was Shankly, I'd be thinking, oh, I wish I had Tavernier a couple of years ago.
The last two seasons, how many chances were created by Tavernier, Cherney and Moore over the last two seasons?
And that's the quality I think that Rangers are crying out for. And if they get that in, I think then there'll be a big, big challenge to Celtic.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for when it comes to calls. Thank you to James. But, of course, we are back tomorrow between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. There are two big Premiership games, St Johnstone against Kilmarnock at 2 o'clock, Hibs against Motherwell at 4:30. 25 minutes, just shy of 25 minutes on the clock between Aberdeen and Hearts. And it's maybe looked more like... more likely Aberdeen would open the scoring in this one. They did have a big opportunity going forward that Tiosi Olisanya got it all wrong, didn't he? I don't know whether the flag would have gone up or whether VAR would have checked it, but seemed to have a lot of space to play the ball through the middle and got it all wrong.
Yeah, it was a 2v1. It was a counter-attack. I think either Hearts had a corner or a free kick, and Aberdeen break up the pitch in a 2v1 in such a promising position. He gets it all wrong, doesn't play the pass. The goalkeeper reads it and cuts it out. I think the Hearts have started to grow into the game a little bit. They've got further up the pitch and created opportunities. But yeah, we'd say Aberdeen have maybe just slightly edged it. Neither goalkeeper's had a save to make that I certainly have seen yet. But it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out.
Just before we finish up, Roger, how would you sum up what we've seen over last night and today, the first league action of the season?
Well, St Mirren top of the league, I think it's theirs to throw away now, Andrew. A terrific win for Craig McLeish at the end of a difficult week. Rangers have a lot of work to do. Derek McInnes knows it, the board will know it, the fans certainly know it if the phone-in's anything to go by tonight. I would expect by the time we're on at 6 o'clock on Monday night, Derek McInnes will have some reinforcements in the building.
a busy show today, and it will be a busy show tomorrow. As I say, there are two Premiership games. We'll also build up to that Monday night game. It is flag night between Celtic and Dundee. Will be Celtic's first competitive action of the season. So tomorrow, maybe you want to preview that. Maybe you want to talk about the games that are taking place tomorrow. Maybe you want to reflect on today's action or last night's action. It is still goalless, 26 minutes on the clock between Aberdeen and Hearts. We'll give you all the reaction to that game tomorrow between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Hope you have a good rest of the Saturday night, and it's going to be the GBX up next.